number 104. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction, fantasy, and mythology podcast by Jake Jackson. We're up to the fourth tale of the 10 Norse myths, and we've reached how Thor got his hammer, although as you'll find out, it's as much about Loki as Thor. Legends of Thor. Thor was one of the 12 principal deities of Asgard, and he lived in the splendid realm of Thrudvang, where he built a palace called Bilskner. Here he lived as god of thunder, and his name was invoked more than any other in the age of the Vikings. For Thor was the protector of the land, a fine figure of a man, with glowing eyes, firm muscles, and a red beard that made him instantly recognizable. He became known across the world for his great hammer, Mjolnir, the Crusher, which had been forged by the Dark Elves. This hammer, together with Thor's strength and his terrible temper, made him the fiercest god of Asgard. Thor was also god of might and war, and because of his popularity, he soon grew to embody the forces of agriculture and became a symbol of the earth itself. He is remembered throughout the world on the fourth day of every week, Thursday or Thor's Day. The story of how Thor gained his hammer. Thor was married to Sif, whose long golden hair was one of her great prides. It fell to her feet like a ray of sunshine, and it was the colour of ripe corn silk in the summer fields. As she brushed it, it glinted in the light and became a symbol of great beauty across Asgard. One day, the glistening cascade of her hair caught the eye of Loki, and he wondered then how he could ever have imagined living without it. He thought about that hair all day and all through the night. And then, just as the moon reached her pinnacle in the midnight sky, Loki leapt to his feet and made for Sif's bedchamber, where he knew he would find her sleeping. The moon cast long shadows into the sleeping goddess's delicately furnished room, and it was easy for the fleet-footed Loki to steal in and set to work. Loki crept to the side of Sif's bed, and very gently, so that he did not disturb her, he withdrew a pair of great shears from his cloak and cut her long veil of hair from her head. Winding the tresses around his arm, he darted from the room again, and there was silence, until that is Sif awoke to discover the travesty that had occurred. Her shrieks brought everyone in the kingdom running to her side, and Thor howled with such outrage that the entire kingdom of Asgard shook. It was not long before Loki was ferreted out and brought before the irate god. Thunder boomed in the sky as the shaking trickster fell to his knees before Thor. "I beg you, Thor, let me free. I will find a new head of hair for Sif, one that is even more beautiful than the one she has now. I'll go to the Dark Elves. They'll fashion one." Loki's head bobbed up and down with fright, and eventually Thor gave in. "You have 20 hours to come forward with the tresses, and if you fail, Loki, you will be removed from Asgard forever." Thor banged down a thunderbolt at Loki's feet, and the traitor scampered hastily away, hardly daring to breathe at his good fortune. Loki travelled at once to the centre of the earth, down into the Svartalfheim, where the wily dwarf Dvalin had his home. He threw himself at the mercy of this dwarf, and requested as well 2 gifts with which he could win the favour of Odin and Frey, who were bound to hear of the news and wish to punish him themselves. Dvalin worked over the heat of his forge for many hours, and as he worked he chanted the words which would make all he forged the finest there ever was. For there are no arms as powerful, nor as invincible, as those fashioned by dwarves. First he finished the spear of Gungnir, which would always hit its mark. Next he formed the ship, Skiblenir, which would always find wind, on even the most silent of seas, and which could sail through the air as well as on water. The ship was folded carefully, and placed on a tiny compass. Loki's eyes shone at its undoubted worth. Finally, Dvalin spun the most graceful of golden threads, and these he wove into a head of hair so lustrous and shining that all the Dark Elves gasped at its beauty. Dvalin handed it carefully to Loki, wrapped in the softest of tissues, and said, "As soon as this touches your princess's head, it shall grow there and become as her own." Loki took all the gifts from Dvalin, whom he thanked profusely, and feeling very pleased with himself, he set off for Asgard with a skip in his step. His jauntiness attracted the attention of two dwarves who sat by the side of a small cottage. "Why do you smile so?" asked the first, for Loki's reputation had preceded him, and the dwarves were certain that his happiness could have no virtuous cause. "Tvali," boasted Loki, "is the most clever of smiths, both here and in all the nine worlds." And with that, he held up his prizes for the dwarves to examine. "Yes," said the first dwarf, who was called Brocky, "my brother Sindri can fashion gifts that are far more beautiful than those, and sturdier too." He paused, and then continued leaning towards Loki, who began to look rather put out. "Our gifts would hold the magic of the very centre of the earth," he whispered. Loki choked and then, recovering himself, immediately challenged the dwarf to prove his words. So confident was he of the gifts he held now that he placed a wager on his own head. And so it was that Brocky and Sindri made their way into their smithy and began work on the hottest of forges. Sindri agreed to fashion the goods on the condition that Brocky blew the bellows, a task that would prove difficult over the great heat that was necessary for Sindri to win the wager. Sindri at once threw some gold into the fire and left the room, eager to invoke the powers which would be invested in a great wild boar, which he had decided upon for Frey. Alone with the roaring fire, Brocky worked hard at the bellows, never pausing despite the tremendous heat. Loki watched from the window, and as he observed the determination and strength of the dwarf, he began to grow uneasy. At once he decided that he must intervene, and as quick as a flash of light, he turned himself into a gadfly and alighted on the hand of Brocky, where he set in a stinger so deep that a rush of blood rose on the surface immediately. Brocky cried out in pain, but he continued the bellowing, never missing a beat. Sindri returned to the room and drew from the fire an enormous boar, whom they called Gullinbursti, for its radiant golden bristles. This boar would have the strength of all other boars there were, but he would have the additional ability to shine a rich and powerful light into any part of the world in which he travelled. He was the perfect gift for the sun god Frey, and nothing could match the brilliance of its light but the sun god himself. So Sindri flung more gold into the fire and instructed Brocky to continue to blow. Once again he left the room to seek the necessary enchantment, and once again Loki took on the form of a gadfly. In an instant he had landed on Brocky's cheek and stung through the weathered skin until Brocky cried out and turned white with pain. But still he worked on, pumping the bellows until Sindri returned once more. And triumphant, Sindri drew from the fire a ring which he called Draupnir, which would become the very symbol of fertility, for on every ninth night, 8 identical rings would drop from Draupnir, with powers to match. The final gift was yet to be prepared, and this time Sindri threw iron onto the fire, leaving Brocky hard at work as he left to call upon the final spirits. Brocky's strength was beginning to flag, but his will was as strong as ever. He pumped away as the fire burned brighter and brighter, until suddenly a horsefly lit on his neck and stung him with a ferocity that caused him to leap into the air. But still he did not miss even one pump of the bellows. Loki was becoming desperate. He arranged himself on the forehead of the hapless dwarf, and he stung straight into a vein on the forehead that throbbed with effort. He was rewarded by a gush of blood that streamed out into the fire and into Brocky's eyes. The dwarf raised his hand for a split second to wipe aside the blood, but that moment caused damage that could not be erased. When Sindri returned and drew out the great hammer, his handle was short and ungainly. Brocky hung his head in disappointment. But Sindri pointed out that the powers of the great hammer would more than make up for its small size. Indeed, he thought, it might be an advantage in that it could neatly be hidden in a man's tunic. So Brocky gathered up the gifts and carried them outside to Loki, who accompanied the dwarf back to Asgard with his booty. Odin was given the ring, Draupnir. Frey was given the boar, Gullinbursti. And Thor was given the hammer, which they had named Mjolnir, meaning crusher, invincible power. Loki then presented Sif with her golden hair, and when she placed it upon her shorn head, it latched itself there, and began to grow in swirls and waves until it reached her feet once more, a shining veil of hair that shone more brightly than ever. Gungnir the spear was given to Odin, and the ship, Skidbladnir, to Frey. Each god was delighted with his gift, and there was much camaraderie as they slapped the backs of the dwarves and the redeemed Loki. It was Brocky who put a stop to the celebrations, when he stepped forward and explained the wager that had been made with Loki. The gods looked at one another and eyed their magnificent gifts. Although it was agreed that Sif's hair could not be more lustrous or more beautiful, the gods announced that Brocky's gifts were the finest and most magical, for the sole reason that Thor's great hammer was of such a magnificent size that it could be hidden away and used against the frost giants at a moment's notice. Loki's games had backfired, and he turned on his heels and fled before Brocky could undertake his part of the bargain and behead him. Brocky started in outrage and implored Thor to come to his rescue in catching Loki, who was making away with all speed. Still smarting from Sif's agony, Thor threw out a lightning bolt and caught Loki by the ankles, returning him to face his fate at the hands of Brocky and his brother. When Loki was delivered to the dwarves, Thor took pity on Loki and insisted to Brocky that he could have Loki's head, but that he might not touch his neck, for that neck belonged to him, Thor. Of course, there was no way to remove a head without touching the adjoining neck, and Brocky stomped around in fury before he came up with a plan which would serve him equally. Gathering up his brother's great awl for the purpose, he punched holes along Loki's lips and stitched them together with an unbreakable cord. It was many days before Loki's howls of pain ceased, and many more before he was able to unstitch the cord. Loki did not speak for almost 100 days, as his torn lips were so painful he could not bear to move them. In time, however, Loki was able to speak once again, causing Thor and everyone in Asgard to rue the day that the wager was broken. The next tale in this series of Norse myths is Loki's last crime. Somehow Loki never seems to learn any lessons. Perhaps that's the point. It's in his nature. Anyway, next week, it's Loki's Last Crime. A shorter story, but we'll be halfway through this series of 10 Norse myths. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Goodbye.